Hi, this is Daniel Garb of the Movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. At a hotel in Banff, Alberta, four virtual strangers are meeting there for the first time to get to know one another. They each had different upbringings in different cities and even countries. Who are these adult strangers and what do they have in common? They're all brothers and sisters separated by the 60s scoop. Meadowlarks is a new drama about survivors of the 60s scoop trying to reclaim their identities, families, and themselves. It's a powerful and heart-wrenching drama that looks at trust, history, and kinship. I saw Meadowlarks at TIFF earlier this year and it blew me away. Based on a true story, it's the work of award-winning documentary filmmaker Tasha Hubbard, known for her powerful work featuring Indigenous subjects. Based on her own life, Meadowlarks is her first narrative feature. I last interviewed Tasha in 2019 on the show about Nipawista Massawin, We Will Stand Up, which won the Best Canadian Feature at Hot Docs that year. It opens in theaters across Canada on Friday, November 28th, and I'm very pleased to have here with me Tasha Hubbard to tell us more about Meadowlarks. Hi, Tasha.
Hi, Daniel. Thanks for having me back.
Thanks so much for meeting with me again. So let's start by giving listeners some background. They may not have heard of the 60s Scoop. What was it?
Yeah. So the 60s Scoop was a Canadian policy coming out of the residential school era. So, you know, people are more familiar with that. But what it was realized was at the end of school, kids went home and went back to their languages, back to their traditions in lots of ways. And so it was decided instead to completely remove children from their homes and communities. And so thousands of Indigenous children were apprehended and adopted out and across Canada and internationally. Children were sent down into the U.S., to Australia, New Zealand, and into Europe. And often without resources to find their families or have any contact with Indigenous culture or family. And essentially, the intent was to raise these Indigenous children as non-Indigenous. And so lasting impacts of that. And, you know, this story is, you know, doesn't tell that history fully. Like it really is. You learn it as you go. And hopefully are inspired to learn a bit more, but that's the policy.
And speaking personally, how did it affect you? What was its effect on you?
So I was a bit of a different situation in the sense that my mother voluntarily surrendered me after all of her available resources were exhausted, which wasn't a lot for single mothers back then. My father and her decided I was going to go to a family member. That fell through. And in the end, she went through a program in Saskatchewan called Adopt Indian and Métis. And she chose my family out of a group of families. That was rare, but she knew the social worker. So they let her do that. And I grew up with a farm family in southern Saskatchewan. My situation's also unique because my adoptive parents felt very strongly that they were giving me a home and love as a child, but that they would need to help me find my family and share me, and that I didn't quote unquote belong to them, that I needed to be able to go back to my family and my culture. So I did that when I was 16. They helped me find my family, and I connected with both my parents, and all of a sudden had 10 siblings that I didn't grow up with, and, you know, spent my teens and 20s, you know, doing that work of reconnection. But a lot of people who went through the system didn't have that, and some are still looking for who their families are. So, you know, the film isn't my story per se, but I think some of my own thinking and experience, we put in there, but I really tried to base the characters on people whose experience was much more common.
You made a documentary in 2017 called Birth of a Family. How is this descended from that documentary?
Yeah, you know, we made the documentary, and that was, you know, that was the story that went out. It was the story of this one family that the eldest spent decades looking for her siblings and found them finally. And then she came to me and said, I'm taking, you know, we're all going on this holiday. Someone said we should document it." And you know, that evolved into you know, us you know, basically with them for that week. And that's the film, is this, you know, the story of this 1 week of trying to become a family. Love the film. It's available on the NFB website. But one of the producers approached me after seeing the film and just said, "You know, you really shot this like a drama. Have you ever been interested in working in scripted?" And I had been, but just hadn't, you know, taken that leap. And you know, she said, "There's lots of possibilities in the story. Are there things you'd want to explore?" And there were, you know, so the Meadowlarks is the same premise. You know, this fragmented family that's been torn apart finds each other, goes on a holiday. But it's not based on the characters. The characters aren't based on the real people. And what that did was it allowed me to really dive into the past, you know, these siblings' experiences and the spectrum that they, you know, that of love or withholding of love and care or abuse that many actual survivors, you know, either experienced or endured. So that helped to just sort of, because what I was wanting to do was go, you know, these four siblings who should have grown up together, should have had shared memories, should have had, you know, all of this time, are now in their 50s, and all of that's gone. So what's left to put together? And they're all coming to this time with their own experiences and history and coping mechanisms and hurts and fears and hopes, you know. And then how does that all mesh when you put them together for 4 days? And you know, that was really where we started from. So they're related, but they're not the same.
Well, what made Meadowlark so fascinating, so moving, is are these characters, these brother and sisters. So can you describe some of these characters?
Yeah, so we have the four main siblings. There is an older brother who doesn't make it to the week, and that's big, you know, a part of it for them, that there's an incompleteness to it. But then the oldest brother there is Anthony, played by Michael Gray Eyes, who, you know, has gotten by making himself small, metaphorically, to survive being a visible Indigenous person in an all-white community. You know, was adopted to be labor, which was very common. You know, didn't have a lot of love, and has sort of made his way, but just, you know, got kind of stuck in his development, and really in the course of the film, you know, moves from being this sort of a bit of a man, like a bit of a boy, into a man, you know, into his place and into who he was meant to be. The next sibling is Gwen, played by Michelle Thrush, who, you know, Gwen's been through it all and has the scars to show, and yet has this sort of verve for life that just comes through and shows the resilience. And you know, we always say we're celebrated, Indigenous people are celebrated for the resilience, and we're always like, but we shouldn't have to be this resilient, you know. But that's Gwen. The next sibling is Marianne, played by Alex Rice, and this one was really interesting because I wanted one of the siblings to be part of one of those people who experienced that diaspora of being taken not just away from your home and your community, but from the very country that, you know, the continent. So she grew up in Europe and, you know, the furthest away and the least understanding of what it means to be an Indigenous person. And so her journey is really trying to figure that out. And the youngest is Connie, played by Carmen Moore. And Connie is the one who, you know, chaotic childhood, babyhood means try to control your present the best way, you know. Just tries so hard to make everything perfect that it can't be perfect, and all of the things that come with that. And so you have very four distinct personalities with distinct experiences, trying to find some common ground and trying to find that elusive, family bond.
Which one is most like you?
I think I'm in all of them in some way, to be honest. I think that I, you know, drew on some experiences of that. You know, I grew up in a community where there were no reserves nearby. The only other Indigenous people were other kids who were in that system, you know, who had been adopted, and, you know, but nobody really talked about it. And so I could relate to Marianne's, like, you only really get a sense of who you are from stereotypes on TV screens, right? And, like, the stupid Bugs Bunny with the headdress and, like, that kind of, like, harmful stuff. So that kind of, you know, related. You know, my babyhood childhood was a bit chaotic, and I think some of that want everything to go well, and you just work to the bone to try and make it happen. And, you know, I think that there was part of that. You know, I really think that my, you know, Anthony's character was based on people I've known. You know, I had an old boyfriend that, you know, there was this sense of, like, he had come back, but it was so overwhelming. He just fully went back to his, you know, his white family and life. And I think, you know, there's so many layers, right? And Gwen is women I've known over the years, not so much me, but just that, like, you can't keep her down. It doesn't matter what happens. She's gonna persevere. And I've definitely, she was based on women I've met over the years who I've admired.
Part of the reason the film is so moving is the dynamics among the brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. Have your own siblings seen this movie yet?
Yeah.
What do they think?
They love it. I mean, they know like I said, it's not really me, and all my siblings were younger, mostly. I have one older sister. You know, I think the situation around the awkwardness of meeting someone who looks like you, who you see yourself in, like that feeling, I definitely brought that into the script. That sort of need to see the physical markers of connection first. I mean, I felt that. But you know, one sister who's like my birth sister on my mom's side, she said, you know, it's really made me think about that moment, the first time we met you, and what, you know, just how we were kids and we couldn't comprehend, like, that we had this sister that we didn't grow up with, and the loss even then of, you know, and I think she was 8 when we met, you know, she was remembering that. And then she was like, I want to see the other side. I want to see what, you know, from the birth family's perspective. And I'm like, yeah, maybe that's the sequel. I don't know. Not that we're planning that, but, you know.
That's the reality show. Yeah. Indigeneity is partly ancestry and bloodlines and things like that, but it's also language and culture and community. Mm-hmm. So in the film, the brother and sisters come across people who know more about them and their culture than they do themselves. Can you talk about this epiphany, this moment in the film? It's very, wow.
Yeah, so there's two elders in the film, and they're based on two different couples. One is a couple, the late Simon and Alma Kaitwehat. And they were a couple I met when I was in my 20s, when I was trying to reconnect. And the love I felt from them and the acceptance, it was just, you know, my family were they were happy I came back. You know, I was slowly sort of threaded back into things as fast as I wanted it to go. Because it was, you know, it's hard enough being 16, 17, you know, with all of this other stuff. So. But just Simon and Alma, it was like they knew what I needed, and I just felt so loved. Sorry, so loved by them. And I learned a lot from them, you know, culturally and stuff. And then another couple that I met in the last few years, and he's Blackfoot and she's Cree. So I liked the dynamic between the two, and also just the work they do in understanding that there's these, you know, generation of Indigenous people who need that sense of being welcome back. And it isn't always necessarily family. It's just people from the culture that know that there's this deep need to be told, welcome back, you know, that you weren't forgotten, that, you know, all of those things. Because if you're isolated and you're the only one, and it's a very lonely life. And so to be, you know, welcome back in that way, I basically wrote the words that I think that most of the people who went through this experience need to hear.
And it's a wonderful film. I hope everyone has a chance to see this one. Thanks so much for talking with me.
Thanks so much.
This is CIUT 89.5 FM, and I've been speaking with Tasha Hubbard about her personal drama, Meadowlarks, which is opening in Toronto on November 28th. This is Daniel Garb of the Movies each Saturday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and my website, culturalmining.com.